Welcome to Casting Hope, a sermon podcast of Hope Presbyterian Church in Columbus, Ohio. My name is Joe Hack, pastor at Hope, and we are so glad that you are listening in. We would love to connect with you in person at our Sunday gathering. In the meantime, we hope this message points you to Jesus, the reason we gather.
There will be two women gathered together. One will be taken and the other not. And they said to him, "Wherever," he said to them, "where the corpse is, there will be not." This is the word of
God. Let's turn together. O Lord, with the words of my mouth and with the meditation of all of our hearts this morning, be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are our rock. You are our redeemer. Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts so that we would behold Jesus in your scriptures? And as we encounter him, would it transform us? Would it change us more and more into his image? That's our prayer. We ask you now in his name. Amen. Well, anytime I meet somebody who is new to this city of Columbus, I want to help them get to know this great city. I want to help them get acclimated to my city. Maybe this is because I was once new to a city. I grew up in rural Indiana, and then I went to a school in rural Ohio, and coming to a city was kind of a shock, especially in an unknown city. I needed help. The church father, Augustine, he famously said that there are basically two cities in this world, the city of God and the city of man. And when we decide to follow Jesus, it's like we're moving into a strange new city, the city of God, where everything is upside down. And to thrive in this new city, with this new address, it's true that we all need help. Now, Christians across time have called this help different things: discipleship, catechesis. Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate the Lord." Why are they doing that? Because we need help in this new city. It's a strange upside-down city that is unlike so much of the city outside of us, outside of these doors. Well, we are taking a slow walk through the Gospel of Luke as a church. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you actually to turn to Luke. We just heard Luke 17, starting in verse 20. This passage that Gracia read for us is what we will be exploring together this morning. And in this passage, Luke 17, starting in verse 20, Jesus is inviting those around him, us included, friends, into his new city. Which he calls the kingdom of God. So if you take a look, once being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Well, here it is,' or 'There it is.' Why? Because," Jesus says, "the kingdom of God is in your midst." Now, the New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright, he actually says, "in your midst" should probably be translated "within your grasp." "In your midst" is a bit too descriptive. It's a bit too passive. In other words, Jesus is not like a tour guide on a bus saying, "Hey, if you look to your left, you will see the kingdom of God." No, it's more than that. It's actually an invitation. It's saying the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is within your grasp. Grab it. He's inviting the Pharisees and the disciples to move in to this new city, to change their address. He's offering that to you as well. But Jesus offers more than that. He actually gives them and us crucial guidance to this upside-down city that he's invited each of us into. He tells them to thrive in this city, this new city, this strange, upside-down kingdom of God. To thrive here, where I reign, where my people live. You need to know the difference between two things. You need to know the difference between hope and hype. And you need to know the difference between fascination and decision. I want to explore both of those with you this morning. First, to thrive in the city of God, you need to know the difference between hope and hype. If you take a look, starting in verse 22, he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." People will tell you, "There he is," or "Here he is." And Jesus says, "Don't go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky, like we experienced yesterday. From one end to the other, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected in this generation." Okay, so what's going on? Jesus says in verse 22 that his followers, there will be a day where his followers are going to long for the day that Jesus makes things right. There will be a longing, or as he puts it, "You will long to see me. You will long to see my promise to make things right happen." This longing is what hope feels like. This longing for things to be made right. And so then in verse 23, he warns his followers, "Don't run off with those who say, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' That's not living by hope. That's living by hype." Living by hype is always looking for excitement. Living by hype is always looking for instant gratification. Living by hype is always looking for impressive results, things that seem right and right now. And Jesus says, "My return, it will be obvious when it happens, but until that time, you must live by hope, not hype." And Jesus actually defines this hope as being a deep tension. Hype is simplistic. Hope is complex. Okay? That's what we're going to look at. Hope carries within it a deep tension. On the one hand, Christian hope is certain. And on the other hand, Christian hope is sober. Christian hope is certain. Remember what Jesus says about his kingdom in verse 21. "It's in your midst. My rule and reign and my presence is so here that you can be certain of it. And my return to make all things right will be as undeniable as lightning lights up the sky." We at Hope here like to say that hope is not wishful thinking. But so often don't we use the word hope in that way? That's how we are trained to use the word hope. "I hope the Buckeyes win." You know, that is a potential outcome. But it is not a certainty. And so much of our life is anchored in these potential outcomes that we want to happen. But the Christian hope is not a potential outcome. The Christian hope is a person. It's Jesus. So listen, the Christian hope is as certain as the grave is empty. It's a certainty. King Jesus is in our midst, though we have not eyes to see it. His Spirit is among us. So that's a never in question. But that's only one side of Christian hope. The other side requires sobriety. So there's certainty, but there's also sobriety. Take a look at verse 25 again. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected in this generation." Jesus is saying, make no mistake, I will return in glory. And that produces a healthy certainty in our heart. But first, that is suffering rejection. And this produces a healthy sobriety. We're sober-hearted. Life in this city of God is not marked by simplistic hype, but a complex hope that has room for rejection and suffering. It strikes me there's two ways to grow a garden. One is to head to IKEA. You know that room right before all the storage, that room with all those plastic plants? It's a gorgeous room. But if you have eyes to see it, you know it's all plastic. It's all fake. And so you could grow a garden by heading to IKEA and selecting a bunch of artificial plants and putting it in your yard or in your house. And again, it looks great, but you know, quote Radiohead, it's fake and plastic. The other way to plant a garden, of course, is to get your hands dirty. It's to plant seeds, it's to water, it's to weed, it's to fend off critters. We have a neighborhood cat that thinks our garden is a litter box. The IKEA path is instant beauty. It's no work and it's no setbacks. It looks good and never struggles. It requires very little. The gardening path, on the other hand, is complex. Lots of work, lots of setbacks. But embedded within a garden is a certainty. This will emerge with something. And that, friends, is hope. The other is hope. And to thrive in the city of God, you need to know the difference. Jesus actually says, beware of those who say, there it is. He actually is warning you against the way of hype. And this, friends, is a challenge, especially in our cultural moment, isn't it? Because our culture is so oriented towards hype. It strikes me that social media could be called a hype machine. In order to get looks, in order to get attention, in order to get likes, the more hype, the better. And that's fine. But what starts to happen is that starts to train our expectations for discipleship, for walking with Jesus, for church life, for our experience with Jesus. We get frustrated, for instance, when a friendship is hard, or when a marriage is difficult, or when the Bible study that we went to is kind of boring. You know, we sort of experience hard times and we think this can't be from God, or this can't be of God, or this can't be what God's city is like. And we get disillusioned, some of us give up. Or we just go to the place where there's more and more hype, so we can ignore the hard times, ignore the difficulties, to ignore the doubts, to ignore the storms, to ignore the rejection, to ignore the suffering. There's plenty of pockets within the church in America that will offer you a place where you can ignore those things. And Jesus says, beware. I will endure suffering and rejection. And so, yes, hope in me is certain, but it is sober. It is sober. Jesus is offering something so much better than I do. He's offering you hope. Second, to thrive in the city of God, we must know the difference between fascination and decision. The Pharisees, these ancient Bible experts, they were fascinated by Jesus. They followed him around. They invited him to their dinner parties. Today we would say they read all his books. They subscribed to his podcast. They followed him on Instagram. They were fascinated by Jesus. But Jesus is calling them, and he's calling us, not to fascination, but to a decision. A decision for him. A decision to actually be identified by Jesus. And in these passages, he reminds us of the stakes involved. in making this decision or not making this decision. If you look at verses 26 and following, Jesus tells his disciples about the days of Noah. He refreshes their memory about what is in their scriptures about Noah. He says, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man, referring to his return, when he makes all things new. People were eating, drinking, and marrying, and being given in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. And then he says, the same is true in the days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying, and selling, planting, and building, all perfectly normal and good things to do, by the way. But something is missing. A decision is missing. They Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. So in both eras, the day of Noah and the days of Lot, in both eras, God's action brought two things at the same time. It brought salvation and it brought judgment. In the same act, whether it be water or fire, the same act brought salvation for some and judgment for some. For those who took refuge in God's mercy, it was salvation. And those who did not make that, keyword here, decision to take refuge in God's mercy, that same act was judgment for destruction. And what Jesus is doing in this text is he is connecting.